on us today, Father, and fill us up with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, I pray for those folks in Boston that lost loved ones. And we pray for the city of Boston, Father, as they get through this tragedy, Lord. Lord, we pray also for our church, Lord, that you bring us a pastor that is according to your heart, Father. Father, we are so thankful for this church. We're so thankful for folks coming today, Lord. And I just pray at this time that you touch our hearts with your word, Lord, and give us the message that you want, Father. I thank you again. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Would you please open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4? 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 11. Now, we talked last week about seasons. You know, there's a time for all seasons. The reason I did it is because our pastors left. And now here we are. Our next job is to bring in a new pastor. And essentially, there's going to be a new beginning and with a new pastor. And so it's time to look ahead. And basically, as a church, to be of one mind in Christ as we bring in a new pastor. So today, what I'd like to go through is, what is Christian unity? And what God expects of us as a church. Okay, do you get that? What God expects of us as a church, not what we expect. So if we go to 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, it says this. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Now, first of all, the love he's talking about is called agape, okay? And what agape love is basically from God, it's four main things. First of all, it's selfless. So in other words, the love that we have for each other is not about ourselves. It's caring about our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what it is. The second thing is, it's sacrificial. That means when your friends or your brothers and sisters in Christ need something, you sacrifice for them. And it may be time, it may be your own money, whatever it is, that's what agape love is. The third thing is, it's unconditional. In other words, if one of your brothers and sisters basically sins against you or does something, you forgive them with an open heart, no matter what they do. It doesn't matter, trust me. In the long run, it doesn't matter. And the fourth thing, it's a caring love, okay? It says, I care for you. It's not fake. There's no politics in God's church, and there's no politics with God, okay? With God, it's straightforward. And the point is, with God, he loves us with this unconditional, sacrificial love, and we are to reflect that in him. Now, one's very interesting. He said, everyone who loves has been what? Born of God. So if you're born again, you actually have the heart that God expects of you. Now, John Wesley talks about, you know, two natures of God. There's a moral character and there's a natural character. And what he meant by that, natural character, is in Jesus Christ. The moral character is the heart of God. So when you're born again, what you do is through the Holy Spirit, you get the heart that God wants you to have. And the Spirit dwells in you, okay? So the point is that we have no excuse as Christians not to act with the love of God. The only excuse that we have is we go to sin. And so that doesn't work with God. And now that we're in this part of our season, of our time, where we're selecting a pastor, unity in our church is of utmost importance. And also that we care and sacrifice our time for others in our church. And yes, we're going to have to pick up here and there. We're going to have to pick up the holes that are open and things that need done. But the reason we do it, why? Because we love each other. It's very simple. Now, verse 8 says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. So there's a second key point here is this. Okay? If you say that I know God, yet you don't love your brothers and sisters in Christ, and it will sacrifice the time that they need or sacrifice whatever it takes of your own for them, and he says, you don't know God. In other words, you have to display the love of God if you're born again. And if you say, I know God, if you know God, that means the Holy Spirit's in your heart. Your heart's open to God. And so then you're also open to his leading. And he will make manifest in us his love. So when we say we know God, that says, I know God, the Holy Spirit's working in my heart, and guess what? I will sacrifice my time for my brothers and sisters, and unconditionally I love them, which means what? Hey, you can do whatever to me, and I'm going to forgive you because I love you. See, people forget that. We like to go, and once somebody does something to us, we like to turn around and criticize them. Well, let me tell you something. That is not of God. What is of God is unconditional love and a forgiving heart. In verse 9, it says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. 10, this is not love that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. What's the key point here is when a brother and sister in Christ sins against us, we do what God did. See, what God did, he didn't say, hey, Doug's a jerk because he did this. What God said is this, I'm going to send my Son to cover your sin. That's what God did. So he what? He sacrificed his Son for us. Okay? He did not write a nasty letter to his brother and sister saying, hey, you did this to me, you jerk. He didn't do that. No, he said this, I will give my Son for your sins because I love you so much. So our response when our brothers and sisters in Christ may do something against us is, hey, look, I love you. What you did to me, I didn't hurt a finger, but I love you and I forgive you. That's what knowing God is all about. And by the way, there is, again, no politics in God. Okay? There's no cute sayings. Okay? With God, it's straightforward. And that's what I love the Bible, because there is nothing but the straight truth. So the point is, when somebody says to us that something may offend us as brothers and sisters of Christ, we forgive. It's unconditional, sacrificial love, and we care. Okay? And if one thing about matters is, about our churches, we need to care for each other. We need to do what's needed in the church, and we need to care about the body of Christ. Okay? That is our job. And if you say you know God, what it says is that'll manifest itself in you, in the love that God gives us. So the point is, God didn't smack us when we basically offended him with our sin. No, what's God do? He says, here's my Son. All you have to do is believe and accept him, and you're going to be born again. You're going to be part of my family. You're going to be a child of God. And that's what the way God is. So what's our response is? To live according to the way he asked us. Okay? To show that same love to others. If somebody offends you, say, hey, how can I help you? I love you. I care about you. What do you need to be done? Okay? Somebody says something, hey, I forgive you. It's no big deal. And we look in from an eternal standpoint, we look at terms of eternity, okay? Any little thing that happens is not that big of a deal. Because if your treasure is, like we say, in heaven, that's forever. And you're worried about when somebody says a little something wrong. Actually, you can think about yourself. Can you even remember what people said to you 5 years ago, nasty? No, you can't. So what we think is important today or something that's wrong, it's not that important. The Christian heart is going to say, I love you, I care about you, and I will respond to you in love, and I will sacrifice my time needed for you because, guess what, I'm a child of God. In verse 11, it says this, dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to what? Love one another. So the body of Christ has no excuse but to have a love for one another. There is not division in the body of Christ. Okay? If there is, there's sin. And as the Bible just says, that's why I love 1 John, because you can't run away from it. God says this, if you know me, you're going to love your brother. Okay? So don't walk around and say, I know God, then, you know, cause divisions in our church. Very simple. So the point is here that we are to be unified as we go into this season of finding a new pastor, unified in spirit and one another in love, so that we can go on our knees and pray to God and discern who God has chosen to be the pastor of this church next. It's very simple. Okay? And that's why unity is important. Dissension, arguments and all that, that doesn't have a place in God's church. It truly doesn't. I just read it to you. It's very simple. Let's move over to 1 Peter chapter 5. I always get this when I study, I can find the books, but when I'm up here preaching, I don't have a clue where the books are. So if we go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, it says this. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. Did you catch that? So part of the love that Jesus Christ asked us to have for our brotherhood is with humility. You know what humility is? It's not building yourself up. It's edifying other people. Okay? Our job is not to build ourselves up or be a big deal. Our job is to be humble. It's funny. I had a friend of mine from this professor at MIT. We worked together, and I was down there this Wednesday. Thank God is all this stuff happened Thursday, and that's, you know, it's great to be under be one God's child and see, you know, how he protects us. But the point is this, is he said to me, Doug, you know, this the head of our college here, I was in a meeting and I said something. He went and he basically said something very offensive to me in front of everybody. I was embarrassed. He said, you know, I am so angry about this. You know, I said, look, first of all, you got to forgive him. Okay, but I said, here's the second part is, you got to understand the people that do that, they do that to build themselves up and make themselves look good, okay? And so they do that. They're professionals at that. And that's how they move up there, right? Guess what? They gain nothing. They gain nothing, okay? But a person of Christ is what? Humble and says, look, I forgive this person, okay? So we're not like that. We don't say cute things to make ourselves look good above other people. We don't cut people down in public to make ourselves look better. What we do is we approach people with humility and the love of Jesus Christ. Now, verse 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand that he may what? Lift you up in due time. So if we truly act like Jesus Christ, we are humble, we love each other with a caring love and a sacrificial love, what will happen is you will be built up. You will be edified by God himself in due time. In fact, there will be rewards for you in heaven, okay, because you have done the work that God expected you in the body. Now, verse 7 says this, and this is one thing beautiful about God. Verse 7 says this, cast all your anxiety on him because he what? He cares for you. So that same caring that God asks you to do for others, you got unlimited, unconditional caring that is just, there's no end to it. You got a problem, you lost a loved one recently, you cast your cares on God. What God do? He will give you a peace that passes understanding. Philippians chapter 4. If we pray to God with what? Thanksgiving, supplication, we bring our requests to God, he'll give you a peace that passes understanding. Because he cares for you. By the way, folks, you cannot buy that with money. The only way you can buy that was what? By accepting that Jesus Christ's blood covered your sin. That is the only way you can get that. That's a peace that passes anything that we understand. And that's what's beautiful. So if you got something wrong or if you're worried about something, you cast. I always think about that as like casting a fishing pole. But the point is you throw it on God, and what he does, he cares for you. And God will say, guess what? It's okay. I'm in control. You got a problem in your life? You got an issue that you're dealing with? Cast it upon God. And God will say, guess what? I'm in control. I love you. I'll take care of it. Okay? There is nothing God can't do. But what he expects of us, as we just saw in 1 John, is to manifest self, our love, like he does for him, for us. Okay? And the reason he does that is so that we know how to treat others. And when we show others love and we care about them, guess what we're going to do? They're going to say, hey, what do you got that I don't? I got the love of Jesus Christ. Wow, I want that too. Isn't that great? And that's the whole point about loving. So the point is that verse 7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. That's agape love that God says. Okay, that agape love, again, it's self-sacrificing, right? It's humble, right? It's love that basically has no bounds. And we don't do it to build ourselves up. We do it because our brothers and sisters in Christ need us. That's why we do it. And that's why as we go forward picking out a pastor, we need unity in this body. And we go and we all go on our knees and we say, God, give us a pastor you want, not us, you. Then God will basically do what? He'll honor that. Because he sees a body down on their knees, humble, open to his love and guidance, and say, God, give us the wisdom to choose the one that you want us to. Okay, and that's what God will do for us. Okay? But that's why unity is so important. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. And the reason this has happened is very simple. Verse 18 says this, for you know that it is with not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of the life handed down to you from your fathers. So the point is, what he's saying here is, you were what? 19, but with the precious blood of the Lamb of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but revealed in these times for your sake. 21, through him you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and your hope and your faith and hope in God. Now that you have been purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. See, Jesus Christ, when we sinned against Jesus Christ, what happened is he said, I love you so much, I'm going to sacrifice my son for you. And by his way, his blood will cover those sins. And he did it because I loved you. He didn't come along and criticize us. No. He didn't come and write us dirty notes. He did not say critical things against us. He sent his son, and so his blood covers our sin because he loves us. And what is our response? It's in verse 22. Our response is very simple. Now that you have been purified yourselves, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, that is believing that Jesus Christ died for our sins, so that you have sincere love for your brothers. You notice the word, what's he kind of love, does he call it? Sincere. Sincere means this. It's not fake. It's not hypocritical. Okay? It's honest love. You know, God's not impressed with us acting Christian. God's not impressed with us, you know, trying to look Christian. God's impressed with us being Christian. Okay? And so the point is that what we need to do is actually put ourselves in a place where we say, look, God, I do want to obey you. And I'm not here for myself. I want to be humble about it, God. And I want to take care of the brotherhood and love the people of my of our body. So that why? So that your will can be done in our church. That's why. And what will happen is God will send whomever he wants. And then all of a sudden there'll be people saved. They'll come to know God. And that we'll build them up as a church. And Beck, you know, they'll be the leaders that take over here. That's what our job is. Okay? As Christians, is not only to make new Christians. Basically, we tell people the word. And guess what? God saves them. And then what's our job is to do what? Edify them. Build them up. Teach them the word. And then bring them up, like here with the young folks here. Bring them up to run a music program, teach Bible, whatever. And next you know, that's the church of tomorrow. And it just keeps growing. That's why I can never stop until God says it's over. And so the point here is that verse 22, that we are to love with a sincere love for our brothers and sisters, not hypocritical. Make sure it's true. And I always say is, look, if you can't do anything sincerely or honestly, if you're going to do it, so somebody says, wow, look at that person. They really are Christian. Don't do it. Don't do it. If you can't sincerely love your brother or sister in Christ or do the work that they need or help them out with a sincere heart, don't do it. Because you're not impressing anybody. Okay? We don't do things to look Christian. We do them because God loves us and it's a response of his love. Okay? Now in verse 22, so it says, so we are to love one another, what? deeply. And where? From what? From our heart. So this, when we talk about unity in our church, it's a true unity, right? It's from a pure heart. And so when we're born again, he talked about being born again. When we're born of God's Spirit, okay, we get the actual character that God created us to be, right? Before Adam and Eve basically sinned, basically God created them in his image. They had the heart, the pure heart that God wanted. So when we're born again, we get that pure heart and the ability to love one another the way God wants us to. And so that's the whole point. Don't do it fake. Be real. Love people with a true heart, okay? And then you do what God wants us to do. And if we don't achieve what God wants us to do. We can't fake it. We really can't. You can't fake anything to God. He knows. So the thing here is, at this time, we need to come together truly in great love, truly with the right heart, and care for each other. Ask God for our guidance and wisdom and to give us the pastor he wants. But the point is, when people come here and they see a body that truly love each other, they're going to say, look, I want to be here. I want to be here. Why? Because these people are real. They're real in Jesus Christ. And that's what God's love manifests itself in us the way he wants it to, not us. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We got two more verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And Paul was dealing with division in the Corinth church. And basically what he did was he went to them and he basically told it straight. So if we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, he says this, and I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. Well, what's the united mind and thought at this time in our season with our churches? We want the will of God for this church in terms of a pastor, so as we go forward. And yes, as we said, there's holes to be filled. Joe said there's issues that need to be done, so you pick up on them. If you can do them, you pick up on it. And if somebody's hurting, somebody needs something, you go and you show them the love of Jesus Christ. That's what we do. Okay? And then when it comes that time, when that pastor comes in, we support them 100%. We say, God, you make sure you give us what you want, but we have to have the wisdom to make the right decision. So if you only do that, you've got to be down on your knees and praying to God. So give me the wisdom to make the right decisions. But then when that person comes in, we're behind them 100%. Okay? And so Paul brought this because the Corinth church had problems. In verse 11, it says this, my brothers, some from close household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. 12, what I mean is this. One says, I follow Paul. Another says, I follow Apollos. Another says, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. In verse 13, he says, is Christ divided? Absolutely not. We know that. We know that. So the point is, there can't be cliques in the church, and we don't follow certain groups. We don't do that. We don't have a little clique where only certain people are allowed or basically like that. What God says to this, I want you to be one body, one mind. That means everybody here, despite your age, despite your position, we are loved, are bound together in love in the name of Jesus Christ. And that the point is, if somebody needs something, we do it, okay? We don't criticize each other. We show kindness and love to each other and do the things that God wants us to do. We teach them the word. For some of the people that have been around a little more, you basically somebody young that needs guidance, we take them aside and we guide them, okay? We show them the love of Jesus Christ. We teach them, okay? We edify them. And so that's what this is all about. And the point is that God, he will not stand for division. And we were talking, it's funny, one of the issues that I stood up here during this time was that we've been through a church back in Wego, New York, and the church was divided right down the middle. We had the Hatfields and the McCoys. It's true. They had these families that were probably there 50, 75 years. No kidding. They started the church. These two families fought forever. And we brought a pastor in there, and he was a good man. The older man voted in 100%. And basically, every Sunday, we actually had moved up to Burlington, Vermont that time. I'd come home because we hadn't sold our house on the weekend. And this man would come over to my house Sunday after church. We went to another church because we left and we didn't want to be a problem there. And so he'd come over to my house, he'd cry. And that's how sad it is. I've seen this happen. This man would cry and he said, "Doug, you know, these families just keep fighting." And the one family didn't want him in there because they had a son-in-law was a pastor and they wanted to push him in there. And I explained to him that, you know, this would not be the best thing for him because you have this other side of the church that's opposition to you. Well, about 10 years ago, I get a call, and they said, "Hey, Doug, you know, we got to determine what to do with the money from our church because we sold it and they made it into a house. What do we do with it? And there's only a few of us left." I said, "Well, we're going to have to give it to a missionary. Let's give it to a mission." And that's what happened. This was a church that was divided, and it shut down. And they made it into a house. I mean, how sad is that? That's what can happen. That's why unity and loving each other at this time is so important. That we make the right decisions, we have no dissension, nothing between us. And the reason is, Paul tells in verse 13 here is Christ divided? No, Christ is not divided. But in that church, we had some people found Apollos and some people found Cephas. And that's what happened. And they just wouldn't work together. It was actually much more worse than that. A few of them actually got sick and died very quickly. And this was a serious situation. And that's why when I think about that, I could cry over that. That was a sad, that was a good church. And what happened was that church went into a pastor, and because the one family wanted their kid in there and the other family didn't, they broke up, broke in two, and it turned into a house. That's how sad that was. And that's why Christian unity, that's why I'm talking about that this week, is because Christian, non-Christian unity or division among us, we could end up like that too. And that's the last thing we want. So the point now is to stand up together, love each other, and be together, be of one mind, put Jesus first. Why? So God can do his work here and we can grow as the body should. That's why I'm talking about this week. And last week I talked about, yes, there's a season, there's all times in the season. We're done with the last season. It's a new season. And it's very sobering. I love Nancy Frank too, but guess what? We're into a new season. So now we got to stay together. We've got to be one mind. We got to love each other. And we need to move forward with the fervor that God gives us. Because the opposite is what? It could be a division shutdown. We do not want that. And I saw it happen. It could make me cry. And that's why I'm talking the way I am today. We're going to finish up with one verse. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And verse 3 says this. Romans chapter 12, verse 3, it says this: "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." So the first thing is keeping the body unified is to be humble. Don't think we're important, because we're not. Trust me, we're not important. God's important. That's what's important. Okay? I am nothing. I'm a hillbilly from Auburn, New York. That's what I am. The point is here, though, that we need to keep ourselves humble, okay, and think of others more important. That's what agape love is. It's self, it's sacrificial love. And then in verse 4, it says this: "Just as each one of us has one body with members, and these members do not all have the same function." Verse 5, "So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all others." So let me tell you something else that's very important here. Every one of you is important to this body of Christ. If you don't think so, you're wrong. And the Word of God just told us so. Every person here is needed in this body. And I get to, you know, I get to look at things from the corner here, and when some certain people here, I notice it right away. Okay? But the point is, everybody here has a function to keep us unified under Jesus Christ. And if you don't think you do, you're wrong. Because the body, the God's word just told us so. So as we go forward, let's go forward with love. Let's go forward with prayer. Let's go forward making sure there's no division among us. Let's go forward with a humble heart. Let's go forward with a forgiving heart. Okay? Now I'm going to close up in prayer. Then I want to get everybody in a circle. And we're going to sing, Blessed Be the Tide. Okay? But let me close in prayer. Then I'd like everybody to get in a circle. We're going to hold hands. And Al's going to put up on the words to that hymn on the screen. And we're going to sing that song as we go. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time, Lord. Because you have given us this time, Father. I thank you for this gorgeous day that you made for us as well, Father. I also thank you for the body of Christ here, Father. The people that, Lord, are of